Today's passage is from Luke chapter 24, verses 36 through 48. Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you frightened? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While in their joy, they were disbelieving and still wondering, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." Friends, today is the third Sunday of Easter, or 2 weeks after Easter Sunday. And by now, enough time has passed that we might think of Easter as a distant memory. Although really, who can forget the worship team and how they led us into God's presence on Easter Sunday? It was amazing. And if you haven't seen or weren't able to worship with us that day, go back into YouTube or Facebook and look up that Easter Sunday service. Anyway, even if we're tempted to move on from Easter, the lectionary passages seem to live in the season for a bit. And we get yet another account of Jesus' post-resurrection story. Now, last week, Pastor Lena looked at John's account of the post-resurrection story. And Luke's account that we just read follows that familiar pattern of Jesus just kind of showing up, saying peace, and addressing their disbelief. Beyond this, however, Luke's account differs in some ways that help us, I think, to get an even richer understanding of what it means to be a people post-resurrection. While his followers were trying to figure out what the heck was happening, although it seems like the women seemed to know what was happening, Jesus basically shows up and says, "Peace, look at my hands, my feet, I'm good. You got anything to eat?" We all know someone like that, right? Just showing up unannounced and asking for food. It's funny, but I think Jesus is really just keeping it real. And frankly, I think I really need this Jesus today. Because let's be real, it's been a year. And if I'm honest, what I find most resonating with me today is verse 41. In their joy, they were disbelieving and still wondering. It's this tension of joy, disbelief, and wondering that, in a strange way, I find refreshing about the passage in our post-Easter reality. For me, it's holding on to resurrection power and yet wondering about the evil that seems to persist. It's about believing that Jesus is alive and yet lacking belief that God will really show up. It's about praising God and still having that corner of my heart wondering, can we overcome? And I wonder if any of you are in that space today. I think the question for us is this: what does it mean for us and for Lake B that Jesus is alive today? Now, in considering this question, and looking back at our passage, one of the things I find so interesting is that in John's account, Jesus shows up and it's Thomas, you've heard of him, that is the doubter. But in our passage, in Luke's account, the doubt or the questioning is not individual or individualized to a doubting Thomas, but is held by all in that space. And it makes me think that this tension of joy, disbelief, and wonder in the passage is not individualized, but is also ours collectively. Add to that, while Thomas is led to believe upon seeing Jesus' body that Jesus was in fact alive, according to John. In our passage, in Luke's account, evidently seeing Jesus' body isn't enough for the disciples and the followers to come to a place of believing. It's at this tension point of joy, disbelief, and wondering that Jesus asks for food. Jesus' response is not a question. It's not a statement. It's not even a parable, but it's food. Why? Well, for one thing, ghosts don't eat. Eating is such a physical act that maybe Jesus wanted to demonstrate that he was actually there in real life. And really, it's only after Jesus takes a minute to sit and to eat with the people there that they seem to come to believe, and their minds were open to understand. Again, that question, what does it mean for us and for Lake B that Jesus is alive today? It means that it's not enough to show up, to show yourself all put together. I'm afraid that much of the church's witness has been about presenting ourselves all put together. It shows up in the way that we lead, in the development of our theology, and in our public witness. We claim, are attracted to, and live for an idealized self at the expense of being real. It's not to say that we shouldn't strive for better, but it doesn't take much to go from ideal to idol. Evidently, it wasn't enough for Jesus' disciple upon seeing Jesus all put back together, healed, revived, and alive. But what did turn the disciples around was that he took a minute to sit down and have a bite to eat, demonstrating that he was indeed not just an apparition, but that he was there, present, proximate. In other words, in real life. The proof and power of the gospel is not in showing that we are all put together, but in being real and present. I hear all the time that Christians want to be the hands and feet of Jesus. I know, I've heard it all. I led a program at SPU where I was sending students around the world, and they wanted to be the hands and feet of Jesus. But how about we just be the butt and the mouth? Yes, the butt and the mouth. That we sit our butts down for a minute and have a bite to eat. Lake B, if we want to live in the resurrection power of Easter, what we need to show is not our put together selves, but to be present together, to sit a minute and to dine. Where is it in our community that we need to sit a minute and to make friends, to be neighbors, to be present in real life? There's power in that. One scholar said of this passage, what is critical about Jesus' resurrection is not that it was a miracle, but that it brings to fruition God's plans and purposes. In other words, yes, Jesus is alive, but what does that mean? At least in our passage, what it seems to mean is that we have to move from presenting the resurrected body of Christ or from presenting our put-together selves as proof of our claims of faith. Rather, we need to move towards embodying the life that Jesus calls forth from us to take our claims of faith from concept to reality. This post-Easter season, quit showing the resurrected body of Christ as proof of your claim of faith, but actually embody the life that Jesus calls forth from us to take the claims of faith from concept to reality. Some of the most intimate, vulnerable, and transformative moments in the life and ministry of Jesus was at the table. And I think Jesus wants to sit with us a minute at the table. Will you join him at the table? If our answer is yes, we might ask ourselves these questions. Who's at the table? Or maybe better yet, who's not at the table? This may tell you something about who you need to sit with. This is not about sitting with the cool kids at the high school lunchroom, although they need Jesus too, but about identifying those who we've kept from the table or we've created barriers for to get to the table. Another question we might ask is, what do I bring to the table? In our passage, whatever the followers brought to Jesus that day, which was broiled fish, evidently, was enough for him to use to create sacred space for them to understand Jesus. What do you bring to the table? What is Jesus going to use in your life to create sacred space for understanding of who Jesus is? And lastly, we might ask this question, how expansive is the table anyway? And what is your part in sitting with others in that sacred space? Jesus seems to be pushing us to a vision wherein the church is willing to sit a minute with all peoples at the table. In fact, he suggests as much towards the end of our passage where he says that all of these things will be proclaimed to what? All nations. And that we are witnesses of that. The Jesus that I have come to believe is the Jesus that took a minute to sit with me. Affirming my humanity, accepting my failures, celebrating my wins, and walking and eating with me. Friends, we are witnesses to this Jesus, the Jesus who sits and dines with us, the Jesus whose body is God's yes, whose resurrected body is God's yes to be with us in body and in spirit. You may be experiencing a tension in your spirit right now, joy, disbelief, and wondering. But this passage gives us permission to live in that tension for a bit, and yet expect that Jesus will show up. We are witnesses to not only his resurrected body as an end to itself, but a resurrection body that sits with us, embodying real presence. While you may be in the odd post-Easter tension of joy, disbelief, and wondering, don't worry, take heart. Jesus is about to show up and grab a bite.